I can't answer for you. I used to believe my parents and believe my teachers and that you should have respect for your elders and betters, and that the men upstairs knew what they were doing. And I was taught that the more I would know, the further I would go. So I stayed in school, I got a degree, eventually got a teaching certificate, I went out to teach. And the first school I taught in, the principal was primarily concerned that the children did not step on the rose beds. And education seemed to be the furthest thing from his mind.
Don't you remember what Principal Pooh put down at the pep rally yesterday?
Principal Pooh?
P-E-P-E-P-O!
Thank you, fellow kids.
Quiet.
In addressing for the assembly this morning, thank you. I am recalling the words of the founder of Morse Science High School, Yucaipa Heap, who pressed the first bricks with his own hands. Knowledge for the people, he said. Give them a light, and they'll follow it anywhere. We think that is a fair and a wise guy for rule to be guided by.
What is reality?
And we're not afraid of it, are we?
Eat it!
You bet.
Eat it raw!
Raw, raw, raw. That's the spirits we have here. Okay, so come on, kids. Line up, sign up, and re-enlist today. Because we need more schooling, for more students, for more science high. Thank you.
I saw teachers and administrators that seemed incompetent, and I started to question some of these ideas I had. And as I looked around me, I saw a sign on the door that said, "Emergency exit, authorized personnel only." I wondered who'd written that. But then later I saw another sign that said, "Emergency exit, not to be used under any circumstances."
Was a bread stasher all his life. He never got fat. He wound up with a used car, a 17-inch screen, and arthritis. Tamari is a drag, man. Tamari is a king-size bust.
Now, next, here at the Capitol Club, Beat Street Jack reading his latest poem, Famous Accountant School. Go get him, Jack.
Gone, 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 gone is the 20th century. When accounting was a drab and nerdy occupation for the little guy. Now the lid is off, the votes are in. There's Famous Accountant School. Learn to drive the big stealer dealers, sales tax evasion, offshore loan sharking, multiple cokehead re-entry bookkeeping, cookbooks, spend bucks. Click here now. Incorporate in a warmer climate before it gets too hot at home. Haggle in the infra-thin. Trade interstate emissions, hedge gas, futures, a virtual balance sheet, renter B. Get out of the pit and get onto the pendulum. It's all thrills. It's a closed course and you're a trained driver at Famous Accountant School. No one turned down. Confidentiality assured. Change your life today. Get all the perks, benefits, stock options and admiration from your fellow men that comes with a high floor, multinational partnership, and a secure and immediate fiscal retirement plan. Hey, stop being a mark. Learn mark-to-market electrical three-prong Monty at Famous Accountant School. Click here now. No tests, no classes, no books or interviews. Click here now. Our skilled instructors have invaded prosecution for white-collar crimes and sought political payoffs for decades. Jump over the bright line. Click here now. Win your personal race to the bottom line. Click here now. Restate your revenue over and over and over again. Every time you slide, like Rawhide, through a legal loophole at Famous Accountant School. So click here now. Click here now.
I came out of 12 years of college and I didn't even know how to sew. All I could do was account. I couldn't even account for myself.
They cry, put down pot, don't think a lot. For what? Time, how much, and what to do with it? Sleep, man, and you might wake up digging the whole human race, giving itself 3 days to get out. Tomorrow is a drag, pops. The future is a flake.
And now, first up, Beat Street Jack with Baghdad Bush Suit. Whatever that means. Bombus Jack!
Jack's back on the bully band stand. Up a fat black mic stuck in my hands. Let's lay it down. Gone, gone, gone is that desert storm tan. That wimpy eastern desert tan. That early 90s fashion style whose camouflage panties on Vicky's secret cuties. Sub-teen patriot gun club get up. Daddy's slick duck blind sports utility upholstery, yeah. The thrill is gone. You gotta dress the kids right. There's a tough new style, a fashion storm coming down on the backs of our boys and girls. So let them model a baggy Baghdad Bush suit in a superpower mix of oily black, cut down, pine brown, deep, deep deficit red, and golden CEO green. You'll preen, you'll scheme, you'll gleam like a rocket's red stare. So modern moms, suit them up for home front insecurity. Dress your little chicks and chums for contingencies, collaterals, and changes of regime in the baggy Baghdad Bush suit. Get it on behind Operation Cloudy Crystal Ball. One size fits all, so get it right. Bring back the uniform opinion. Dress them up, click here now. Go it alone, click here now. Don't change your mind, click here now. This is Beat Street Jack telling you if you're strong and wrong, then you better redress for success. So click here now, baby, click here now, yeah, click here now.
I had a canary who couldn't sing. I had a cat that let me share my pad with her. I bought a dog that killed the cat that ate the canary. What is truth?
Once again for the flavored fuel. The New World Mint trots out a delectably collectible selection of six handsomely hand-molded chief executive posteriors in pure 24-karat oil-fed creamery butter. So purchase your personal thank you, Mr. President's prize package right away today, and we'll bend over the moon to show you a four cheeks for two New World deal you can have as long as they last. That's right. We'll ship out your very first sofa-sized send-up of our New World Mint Julius and self-tossed Caesar the W. Bush Jr. butter butt with a slick, kissable Texas cookout finish in pretzel tan that smirks like a million points of friendly fire. Then choose your choice of dance. Try out the unlovable loser of the unknighted, unevil, umpire-the-lessel Elder George H.W. Bush butter butt. Yes, some folks think that a daily fat pat on a tight bush brings fortunes to lucky fingers fast. And on the inside. Or why not pick on the prickly X? People's choice. Express yourself, Pops, with a hop-on pop Pepsi's coccyx sent frozen in FedEx's truck and extra finely struck out the way you'll always want to think about watching it laid low and inside. Spread wide. Suitable for getting framed. Kiss up today. The presidential button butter from the New World Mint, where our wildest dreams are made of fat. Okay, baby, I gotta go.
Wow, help him out, man. Roll him out. Roll him out. Beat St. Jack, man. All right.
Take that card.
You know, that gives me hope, man.
I had an uncle with an Ivy League heart. He had life with a belt in the back. He had a button-down brain, wind up, a belt in the mouth, and a button-down lip.
Crossroads of the world.
Disco on the radio, finger popping Arab fry cooks, posses of actors out searching, smoking marijuana, wearing Chinese shoes, listening to Benny Goodman, drinking coffee in a room full of women, eating green cherries at sunset, watching a TV travel at 65 northbound, whores and dwarves hard by the boulevard, rock stars in 50s cars. Universal must have paid for the moon.
We cough blood on this earth, now there's a race for space. We can cough blood on the moon soon. Tomorrow is Dragsville, cats. Tomorrow is a king-size drag.
H-Wood, 80s. Unmistakably hash pipe smoking in the park where Rudolph Valentino and three soft-eyed bums share the grass. Valley Jews and children of the rich, one-night papas make burgers with the kids due for whole weekends of real life. Tonight, the Hollywood boulevards unroll toward sunset, Washington palms against a planetarium sky, fading toward a truly mournful Jap saxophone.
Tula fast shorts, swing with a gassy chick, turn on to a thousand joys, smile on what happened or check what's going to happen, you'll miss what's happening. Turn your eyes inside and dig the vacuum. Tamara drag.
I went to the library looking for a book, and I noticed that all the books on pregnancy were stored on a shelf down by the floor. Probably the people that needed them most couldn't even see them. And then as I looked around, I saw that very often competent people, the competent individual, was promoted to something he couldn't do. I saw a competent mechanic, where I used to take my car. He was terrific. He was very responsible, very precise, knew exactly what he was doing, so they made him foreman. Now he's no longer fixing cars and he's trying to manage the other mechanics, and he's very incompetent, doesn't do this well. He's really a competent mechanic and an incompetent foreman. I saw competent engineers getting promoted to supervisory positions. They were great at dealing with things and incompetent at dealing with people. And over again, I saw this phenomenon, and I called it the Peter Principle. The Peter Principle states very simply that in any hierarchy, an employee tends to rise to his level of incompetence, and that's where he stays. And one of the biggest problems in the United States, the problem that most psychiatrists are dealing with today, is a problem called the identity crisis, where people have lost themselves in the hierarchy. They've done what they've been told. They're following the rules. They're being promoted. And then all of a sudden they find themselves wondering, what am I? Who am I? Where am I? But mainly, who am I? And they're lost in the process of being promoted and trying to conform to what the hierarchy expects. They've lost their own identity. This is a major problem. I think I'd like to make it clear that I'm not saying people shouldn't accept promotions. Some people should. Some people enjoy power, enjoy authority, enjoy responsibility.
If he don't kill you, you'll love working for him.
I don't work for anybody. Everybody works for me.
Honey, that's what I was going to say.
You mad fiend.
Fast I am, happy meal to you, Acme. And we meet face to mask.
Where's my tube?
Our tube. Here it is. Oh. And sacrificing my life and smelling curtains for you.
You crazy monkey. All you criminals can do is stop elevators and break iron hearts.
I have earned its awesome secrets. Soon, I will know what to do with it.
I have that vision already. I know what to do with it. Think. Slicer dicers that grow in the dark. Rubber roads that lead nowhere. Gas bags, zizzing tanned, happy people to work anywhere in the world. Digital beds, watches that won't melt. Movies in hotels, ant-proof casters, lights that never go out. A cure for the shuffles. Cheap art and compulsive education and all of this by 61. The future. Easy. Efficient. Affordable. It's an... What? I need my voice.
That's pathetic. I knew you'd say that. What about the smoke? What about the curtain? What about reality? Do you cry for progress? I scream for ice cream.
That's not funny.
What about the little people?
And others find it a burden. Drags them down. Makes them feel that they're responsible for more than they should be. Any boss, manager, or chief executive who spends a lot of time reminiscing about the good old days, complaining about the quality of his employees, complaining that the competition is too strong, and so on, is not really enjoying the challenge of that job. Should we go throughout life being conditioned to keep on accepting that next reward, to keep on running like a squirrel in a cage?
A squirrel? A little squirrel. Who would want to eat a little squirrel. Nice
if you're
little
starving. Today, you're starving
squirrel.
Out in the park one day.
You'd probably just char them just to get them stiff, wouldn't you?
Sure, you char, singe them. You singe them and eat them. You know, John, I read that about the Donner Pass. I know what man does when he's
squirrels eating squirrels. My God, that's sick.
That's sick, sure, but a man eating a squirrel, that's, you know, par for the course, Charlie.
To keep on striving for that carrot on the stick, or should we use our ability to be rational and think about where am I going? What is the purpose of my life? Is reward through promotion the reward for me, or are there other rewards through other aspects of living? This is the question. I can't answer for you. I try to answer it for myself. Each individual can use his ability, his rational ability, to analyze a situation. This is where the Peter Principle, written as humor, as satire, to help people laugh at the problem, can actually help people make some of these very important decisions in their own lives.
I'm not going to go to Australia. I don't even speak Australian. I quit. I need a job. Oh, my God. Let's see. Look here in the... There's a job for old Clarko. Clarko can get a job. Let's see. Plenty opportunity. Yeah. Here we go. Mole peener. No dignity necessary. No, it's not my kind of life. I'm a member of the Golden Cock Club. I'm a great salesman. I've sold over $1 million worth of computers just to men. Oh, aim it. Come on now. All right, here we go. Sales opportunity. Salesman. A dynamic, effervescent, ultramod salesman. That's me. That's Clarko. Needed to handle revolutionary new line of irregular female drill bushings. Must be willing to sleep in car. Plant will supply mask. No, that's not. It's not my kind of life. I'm a corporate type. Oh my golly.
Dad. Wow. Dad, what are you doing home?
Well, I got a little sick of work today, son.
Dr. Zeus, we found that in working with these laboratory rats who were accustomed to receiving the free food, both Drs. Carter and Berkowitz offered their animals the alternative of obtaining the food pellets by pressing a lever. But this is the interesting thing in our study, that we discovered that when the rats were able to earn food by pressing the lever twice, they'd even push their free food dish out of the way in order to reach the lever. So that what we discovered is that the rats really prefer earned food to free food. Interestingly enough.
Microphone working?
Yeah.
Do I just press this?
Right over there.
Press this little lever here, yeah.
Do you have a comment on that, Doc?
Rats gonna press levers, and I don't think that. Is this working?
No, there's a rat.
Well, I can understand you.
Oh, look at the little guy.
He's working.
Here, I'll get him.
He's working for you, Doc.
We pay this rat to do this. Now, if we didn't pay him, he wouldn't do it. And even if we gave him free food,
he'd die.
He wouldn't do it unless we pay him.
He's dead now.
What these rats have discovered.
I tell you that a friend of mine in Iowa.
Bill McIntyre?
No, there's someone you don't know, though. Captured the young boy that lived next door and put him in a cage.
He did?
Yeah, right. Put him in a cage and offered him free food. Delicacies, man. Stuff from the Chinese. There's good Chinese food in Iowa.
Yeah.
Good Chinese food, Japanese food, good American home cooking, free.
Yeah.
You know, here, take it, Larry. And the kid cried a lot, moaned, and did things about, what are you doing, you're crazy and you're insane, and they'll find me, and they didn't, and he would refuse the free food.
Really?
Yeah, but when he got a chance to work.
Well, doctor, he
ate like a horse.
Dr. Berkowitz would be very happy to hear about this, since he, you know.
It's Dr. Berkowitz's son.
Dr. Berkowitz is the one over there in the mayonnaise jar with the holes punched in top.
Yeah,
that's right. That's
we put a little clover in for him every once.
He's a little cannibal. He eats rats.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Well, maybe if we put the lever, Dr. Lever.
Dr. Lever, it's the Lever brothers, one and two. If you push both of them, they pay you for working.
I didn't want to pronounce it the other way because they're like Jewish, you know.
That's right.
And
Levay is the way they
pronounce it. Levay, Franklin Delano Levay.
How are you getting along with the mongoose separation experiment?
Oh, well, we find that when we separate a mongoose, part of him dies, and another part of him kicks for a while.
Patriotic nationalism, man. That's true. You know, the mongoose were refused.
But it is acquired behavior. If we put other mongoose in the proximity of the mongoose that we're separating, they get very nervous.
I think the term is freak out, Doctor.
Well, that's not hardly scientific.
They won't eat any of the free food we give them to watch.
I know.
No. They're little rats. We give them the rats that failed the other test.
Yeah, right. They'll eat shirkers, but they won't eat workers.
No, they won't eat. That's good.
That's true.
Where can I get a job?
Many busy executives ask me, what about the job displacement market program in the city of the future?
That's right.
Well, count on us to be there.
Jared.
Because if we're lucky tomorrow, we won't have to deal with questions like yours ever again.
Thank you for question. Exit left to Funway.
Tonight is the regional finals in the Bureau of Human Reclamation's project on the public welfare. Yes, sir, friends, as you all know by now, the cross-country caravan does stop here tonight. You're the judge, and you're going to be the jury for us as we welcome the Get a Job Caravan with your host, my host, everybody's friend, Dr. Manuel Blowjob.
Well, you don't have to look up in the want ads to know who I am. I'm Dr. Blowjob!
Blowjob, send me a job. I'm out of work and I feel like a slob.
Yes, 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 that's our theme tonight. That's our theme every night. Heck, let's admit it, folks. You wouldn't be here tonight watching this harmless entertainment if you hadn't blown your job. Well, nowadays, everybody's out of it. Except me. And that's my job, getting you back to work. And I think we've done a pretty good job so far.
Yes, yes. Very good job.
What I like to hear. It's tremendous thundering applause like that that's going to make it or break it tonight for our two finalists in the Southern Valley, Ohio Human Reclamation Runoffs. That's right. The winner of tonight's Sudden Death Talent Exposition will go for instantly as a garbage disposer at the Steubenville Mold Breeding Works at $1.03 an hour. Well, who's our first contestant, Norman?
Well, I certainly am proud to introduce to you, Doctor, our first contestant, finalist. From right here, he's our local defending champ, and he's a good friend of everybody in the audience. Let's give a big hand, a big welcome to Donald Hornibaby.
Donald, Donald, here. Let me give you a hand. Well, well, Donald, Donald, I can see by that shabby suit that at one time you must have held a position of some importance.
Yes, Doc? Let it slip through my fingers like everything else in those dark days.
Well, what'd you do then, Donald? I mean, it looks to me like you spent a lot of time on your hands and knees.
Ha, 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 ha. Nothing quite that important, Doc. Yeah, no, I was merely the president of Southern Ohio's largest regional bank, the Tri-City Grove and Chemical Pig Exchange of Cincinnati.
Oh, that's wonderful, but I suppose after the deflation, well, your life must have passed you just right by.
That's beautifully put, Doc. But of course, from where I sat, it wasn't such a pretty picture. After my wife divorced me, Daisy, they burned my bank into a discotheque.
Oh, well, burn and learn, Donald, burn and learn, and this is it. This is the finals, and you're up against a strong opponent. Yes, it's the finals, that means that either you win or you go on relief. Well, what are you going to do for the folks tonight?
I'm sure count on their applause to help me, too, Doc. This is a song I composed myself. I call it Way Down Upon the Suwannee River.
Well, let me tell you, Donald, with a personality like yours, I could leave you out here all night to charm the folks.
Yeah. No! Don't leave me out here! Not the duck!
I want to take it easy, take it easy. They're all your friends out there, Donald.
No, they aren't! They stole my bank!
Oh, now, take it easy, take it easy. Ladies and gentlemen, it gives me particular pleasure at this time. To present the mysterious sounds of Donald Hornibaby.
Sentimental favorite. He's been here before on this stage 4 years ago. Who of us could ever forget that dramatic moment when he was here? I'd like to introduce to you now the Honorable William Ding, former President of the United States.
Is that why you wear that mask, Bill?
No, no, Dr. B. I wear this mask as a theatrical gesture, as a gag, and when I rob discotheques.
That presidential wit, we'll never forget it. Well, well, well. Yes, Bill, it sure is good to see you. Well, well, well. Well, what you doing now? Not very much, not very much.
Oh, well, you know, looking at you like that, all dressed up in silver and gold, it makes me think, my God, how could so many people from so many different racial and social backgrounds with the same postal zone, all the outer work together?
Well, that's always been my position, kind of bent over.
That's democracy! Yes. And that show business too. And Bill, you've been in some pretty tough races.
Yes, I have, but I'm grateful to the white race for getting me my start.
Yes. And they're up against a tough one tonight, a big race. And they're up against a tough opponent, a tough duck. But 4 years ago, you were up against the really mean ones, the really big ones. But they never bit you back, Bill. How come?
Money. Money and power. I could hire anybody, and I was higher than anybody, but those days are gone forever now. God so fit to strike me down. Yes, gone are the days when you could tell the cities by the color of their smoke. Well, I had cold noses then. We were boiled potatoes in the ovens of progress. There was an Irishman I remember once who told me my mother's story.
Well, save it, Bill. Save it for your memoirs. I mean, who cares?
I shall attempt to confuse the mind with the flip of the finger and to deceive the senses with every twist of my tongue.
Just like the old days, Mr. President. Yes, but can you win this one?
Can you beat
the hometown duck from Cincinnati? Well, let's see. Presenting, ladies and gentlemen, the dazzling Ding, Doctor of Deception!
The evolution which I prevented teaching of in the school, if you remember. Evolution, I shall now show you how we change from the hand of a monkey to the hand of a man. Ta-da! And now, ladies and gentlemen, a little trick that I know amuses all the gentlemen in the audience, I shall pull a bunny out of my hat. Ladies and gentlemen, a bunny. Ah, she got away! Ta-da! And now, ladies and gentlemen, we have a problem of smoking. You know, when I was president, there were many problems during my administration, and I always attempted to make them disappear. And today we still have the problem of smoking the cigarette. I would like to show you one simple and interesting way to make that problem disappear forever, ladies and gentlemen, a simple cigarette. Ta-da! Ta-da! And now for the younger folks in the audience who may remember it, a little problem with another kind of smoking. Marijuana. Remember these things? We made them illegal during my reign. This is a joint, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm going to show you how to get rid of this. You smoke it very slowly. Ladies and gentlemen, let us say you haven't got the time to smoke it slowly, and all you have left is a little roach. I'm going to show you how to make the roach disappear. And now, ladies and gentlemen, my most serious and time-consuming illusion. I am going to transform myself before your very eyes from a man to a woman. I require an assistant, and please, ladies and gentlemen, your absolute attention and concentration. Now, everybody, close your eyes.
This is one of the great contests. It's going to be close. But before we announce the winner, before we tell you who's done it, Norman, why don't you tell the radio audience and the studio audience here and the people in this lovely theater just what our winner is going to receive?
Well, this is very exciting. The winner of this contest, of course, will receive a one-way, non-refundable, non-transferable bus pass on the Flying Clippers of the Steubenville Municipal Bus Lines, the now way to travel. While waiting for his high-priority job interview, he'll be put up with at the Lucky Spot Motel at 109th and Central on the Glamour's East Side.
That's Brandy.
And, of
course, our winner will receive free coffee every single day while he waits, courtesy of the Arco Vending Machine Company, the quality unit of vending machines, Arco.
Oh, what a treat, ladies and gentlemen. I know you're all sitting on tender hooks. You want to know who did it? Come over here, Norman. Norman, my boy. He's got the totally fair, totally guarded and locked Laugh-O-Graph report, 137 for Donald Hortebeggy, and for Mr. Ding,
136!
Oh my God, you lose, Mr. President! You lose, but we've got a new winner, ladies and gentlemen. Presenting our new Mr. Unemployed from Cincinnati, the Dancing Duck, Donald Hortebeggy!
Wasn't equal, he's a winner at last. Now his days of cheating and welfare are past.